It's 5 o'clock and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, 90.9 on cable, and streaming online at www.cfrc.ca. We're broadcasting live from the basement of Crothers Hall at Queen's University in Kingston on Turtle Island, and you're now tuned in to Radio 613. Show. My name is Avi, and I'm here in studio with Malka. And this week on Radio 613, we'll be speaking to Judy Rebick and Aaron Lakoff, two Jewish activists who have shown resistance to what's going on in Gaza, the ongoing massacre perpetrated by the Israeli state of the people of Gaza. And both Judy Rebick and Aaron Lakoff respectively participated in occupations of the Israeli consulates in Toronto and Montreal in response to devastating loss of life and un-Jewish, immoral, and unjust actions of the Israeli state. So do stay tuned for that. So this week's show really goes out to a call for freedom for the people of Gaza, and really going out in our prayers as well, going out to everyone in the region living in fear. We begin today with music from Invincible off the album Free the P. This is No Compromises.
Metaphor for this. Lyrics depart, my lips paint you a self-portrait. Then my people make it out of Auschwitz in order to become my own oppressors. Present situation is torturous. A fortress is built 25 feet tall, thickness 5 feet of concrete, apartheid wall. It's called a security fence, but all I see as far as the eye stretches are superiority complex. A new dawn, an awakening. Eyes wide open to the lies spoken, paper thin. No lifetime's frozen. Keep changing, no faking a plane. Pretend I'm hoping to step outside without choking. I'm breaking wind from factory smoke. This is sulfur, not cess. Schools closing chapters, getting ulcers from the stress. Breathing that gives you asthma is hazardous to your health. Just to be an inhabitant of the city where you rest is a quest for the spirit of resistance. You can hear it in the distance if you listen. Persistence. So what we fighting for? The day where you ain't even gotta fight no more. And that's the vision risen up to heights we soar. I hope I opened up a can of worms with all these anecdotes, cause you can never candy coat the truth. And once you know it proved, then you can't ignore your Che equipment with this handy quote. At the risk of sounding ridiculous, true revolutionaries guided by feelings of love. Give 100%, demolish buildings and spilling civilian blood. Collective punishment, but you know what I meant, a new dawn. Sun rising on the horizon, it's a new day. Every opportunity lies in the crisis. I'm giving this my all when I write this. We in it for the long haul, no compromise. Ready like Helen to tell him I want a divorce. Send a wedding vows and promise to protect and serve. But we battered wives don't even get respect we deserve. Increased police presence, adolescents get sentenced as felons, and there's never no preventative measures to help us change the conditions. Respectfully, without putting the life on the line for this industry to referee. This is a discrepancy of good cop, bad cop. Every cop operates with injustice as the backdrop. So for the have-not, survival is padlocked inside of the jackpot. We ripping it to shreds. Ask what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, they both vile and rotten. Laws, politicians, the plotter, and the cops on patrol. Keep us locked in parole, man. They all getting cold and they stock and soap. Apathy's not an option for all the lessons in life that you learn. We not stop until we get in the right of return. To all the Zionists denying this, listen. It's a new dawn, sun rising on the horizon. It's a new day. Every opportunity lies in the crisis.
So welcome back to the show. We're now on the air with Judy Rebick. Judy Rebick is the chair in social justice and democracy at Ryerson University in Toronto. She's also the editor and founder, I believe, of Rabble.ca and a longtime Canadian activist. So thanks so much for joining us today, Judy.
My pleasure.
So we have Judy on the air today.
I can just correct you. I'm the former publisher of Rabble.
Former?
I don't work with Rabble anymore.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, publisher, okay. not editor.
Should have checked my bio. well, thanks for joining us. We have Judy on the air today to talk about a recent action that she and some other Jewish women took in Toronto, which was an occupation of the Israeli consulate. So, Judy, can you just tell us why you and the other people that you worked with occupied the Israeli consulate in Toronto?
Yeah, we felt that something extraordinary had happened that would get attention, and because of the savagery of the Israeli attack on Gaza, and some of the women are women who this is their area of activism in general. That's not true for me. Mm-hmm. I've taken a position against the occupation of the Palestinian territories, but I haven't been all that active on the issue. In any case, we felt pretty strongly that we wanted to do something dramatic, and it came up to do an occupation of the Israeli consulate, and we decided that it would be most effective if it was Jews doing it because, well, one, we didn't think other people would be able to get in to the consulate because the security is quite tight. And then it worked out that it was all women doing it. So I personally thought that was very powerful as well. So so that's why we decided to do it. The other reason was that while there has been a Jewish opposition for some time to Israeli policies vis-a-vis Palestine, it gets really silenced. It never gets reported. And so we wanted to do something to really dramatize the fact that a lot of Jewish people do not agree with what Israel's doing. And in that we succeeded, I think, very, very well.
Good. You mentioned that this hasn't been your focus of activism. Any thoughts on what led you to sort of take this action at this point?
Well, you know, I've been to the Gaza Strip, so I know how small it is. I know what bombing it means because I was there. So I know how poor the people are. And I was there in 2002, and already the poverty was stunning, let's say, compared to the West Bank, because Israel had already cut off Gaza from any kind of trade, from any Palestinian going in or out. So it was already an open-air jail in 2002. That was before the blockade. So I had a good sense of what it's like there, and I'm just so outraged by what Israel's doing. I mean, I think they're committing atrocities, they're committing war crimes, and if it was any other country in the world doing what Israel's doing, they would be a pariah. And it's only because, and I think they are a pariah now, I think global public opinion has been massive demonstrations against them.
Absolutely.
It's only because the last Saturday in Europe is just, I think it was 30,000 in Paris, 10,000 or 15,000 in England. There was a huge demonstration in Montreal. There's been really big demonstrations in Toronto, even though it hasn't been very well covered. And I think that people are outraged around the world, but the United States and Canada insist on defending this regime, which should be a rogue regime by this point, the way that they're behaving. I mean, they're just slaughtering people. You just listen to the radio and listen to the UN workers or the aid workers, who are usually pretty inured to people suffering. They deal with it every day, and their voices are breaking because of the horrors that they're seeing. Israel talks about Hamas being terrorists. It's the Israeli government that's terrorists.
Absolutely.
That's creating terror in the population. And, people are afraid to say that because they get accused of anti-Semitism. They get, there's accusations about why are you protesting against Israel and not Egypt and stuff like this. Well, no, I mean, this is one of the worst human rights atrocities we've seen in a very long time. A powerful state bombing an almost defenseless people. It's just a nightmare. And we just had to speak out about it as Jews because it's easier for us to do. And it's the one thing that might actually affect Israel. And it was reported in Israel what we did.
Right. I'd like to ask you about that. how is it easier for us as Jews to react to it, and how did that kind of work out when you actually did go to occupy the Israeli consulate in
Toronto? You know, it's easier and it's harder. Like, a lot of Jews are afraid to speak out because, you know, their bubby won't talk to them anymore, or, you know, their relatives won't talk to them, or because they get shunned in the community, which does happen. So in that way, it's not easier. But in the way that it's easier is that nobody can accuse us of being anti-Semites. And that,
well, they can try.
They accuse you of being a self-hating Jew.
Right.
You know? But they can't, which is a meaningless term to me. So they can't accuse, it's hard for them to accuse you of being anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, it's easier. And, you know, I know a lot of Jewish people who are opposed to what Israel's doing and even opposed to the occupation altogether, and they don't speak out because they don't want the hassle. And, you know, I think what we were saying was, you know, whatever the hassle you might experience, like, you know, we were handcuffed for 2 hours, it's very unpleasant, it's nothing compared to what the people in Gaza are experiencing, and we have to speak out. You know, there's moments in history when you just have to take a stand, and this is one of them. And, you know, I say to you also that, you know, there was a time when it was the Jewish people whose lives weren't valued, and when nobody took a stand to stop the Holocaust. And to me, it's the same kind of racism that's at work here, that somehow a Palestinian life's not as important as an Israeli life. Just like in 1944, a Jewish life wasn't as important as a non-Jewish, a Christian life. And we can't, you know, as Jews, like for me, and I guess you asked me why did I do this, for me, as Jews, I just cannot accept that we can support something like this, no matter what the reason. There's no excuse. It's not possible. So I feel... You know, as you can hear in my voice, I feel, as well as being politically opposed to it, a moral outrage about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would say I share that with you.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young Jewish people do share it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judy, this is Avi here. I wanted to ask you, hello, and thanks for coming on the show. I wanted to ask you about the makeup of the people, the women who occupied the consulate, as you mentioned, it was people from sort of a varying range of political backgrounds and what their sort of focus are on. Just maybe if you could speak about those different backgrounds and let us know if you think that's reflective of the sort of range of Jewish voices who are against the occupation and what's going on in Gaza, and sort of potentially sort of breaking some of the hegemony of institutional voices who tend to homogenize the debate, despite the fact that Judaism sort of based on a really, you know, a really fervent exchange of ideas. So yeah, I was just wondering if maybe you could begin with talking about the range of women.
Well, we were a range of ages from 25 to 65, so it was all ages. And there were three Israeli citizens who are living in Canada now, and who you know, I think that's pretty significant. And you know, I think that was important. There were, you know, different occupations. You know, a couple of us are professors. There were a couple of filmmakers. There was a fitness instructor, Judy Deutsche, who is the president of Science for Peace and who has been quite active in a Jewish group opposing the occupation of Palestine, was part of it. You know, I didn't know the women, right? I only knew a couple of them before we did it. So I don't know all of their backgrounds. That's what I know. So it was, you know, different occupations, different involvement in this issue. Certainly not, most of the women were not like me, a lefty activist. Most of them were not, but, you know, felt strongly about this issue. And in fact, with the exception of me and Jenny Pito, who was the youngest, none of them had ever been involved in any kind of direct action before or civil disobedience. None of them had been, so it was a first for all of them.
Wow,
and, quite the first.
And no one involved had ever been arrested before, except for me. And the last time I was arrested was 1973.
Okay,
so it was a while back.
Great.
Before you were born, probably.
That's true.
And so, just again, wondering how you feel that potentially this resistance coming from Jews is sort of, do you feel that it's symbolic of a change of sorts in sort of the voices, at least in the diaspora, that are being heard of opposition to Israeli state and its policies?
From the feedback we've gotten, I think that it's inspiring people to do more. So, for example, today there's a demonstration of Jews at the Israeli consulate in New York City,
right,
and they're hoping for 3,000 people. Now, that's going to be huge news if that happens. That's at 5:30 today. And mm-hmm. that's directly, they got that idea from our occupation. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to them all week. They've been asking me questions and so on and so forth. So they put out a statement. I think they put it out a statement of 15 prominent Jews in New York City asking for people to come to the consulate today. So that's something that's unprecedented, that's never happened before. We've been getting, I thought it was a good thing to do, but I thought, like you say, is a symbolic action, but the reaction we're getting from all over the world has been phenomenal. And one of the things is that it's really been heavily reported in the Middle East, and I think the impact of that, I mean, it's in Israel, it's been reported, but also in Iran, in the West Bank, and so on. And I think the impact of that is to cut across anti-Semitism, because one of the impacts of what Israel is doing, you know, they always claim to be creating more safety for the Jews, but my experience is the more this savagery continues, the more anti-Semitism rises, because people don't distinguish between Jews and Israel.
Absolutely.
And I think by making it clear that this is not the will of Jewish people, it's mm-hmm. a government that's doing it, it helps to cut across anti-Semitism. And that's something that I didn't really think about when we did the action, but which obviously is having an impact. It's really been covered all over the world. So it's obviously a very important statement that we made, and it's having an amazing amount of resonance. I haven't seen a reaction to this to anything that I've done a long, long time, that's for sure.
Well, it is inspiring and it is hopeful. Thank you for doing it, that and but especially thank you for talking to us about it. You know, I was surprised when I saw, oh, Judy Rebick. Oh, look what Judy Rebick is doing now. That's what an email I sent. And I know that you've been interviewed in on CBC and on Democracy Now! So, like, I know that this has been getting coverage, and it is really important for non-Jews and Jews alike to hear about, what Jews are willing to do to, show their disgust and non-acceptance of the situation. So thanks very much for talking to us about this today, Judy.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Judy Rebick, Chair of Social Justice at Ryerson University. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking to Aaron Lakoff of Resist.ca, who worked on an action that actually the next day, following the occupation of the consulate in Toronto, in Montreal. So keep tuning in to Radio 613 on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Come on.
تشوف بنات تقدر تعمل اللي بتعمله مش صبايا تغني وبس اللانساء اترجع للغير اصله انا صابرين الساحرة وهاد وجه الحقيقي لا بدي بيتك ولا بدي انك تيجي تنقذني وتتجوزني بدي اسمع واعمل هيب هوب شرقي فصل اباحي خليك تبطل تضحي وتضحك لما تسمع اسمي بقدر اسوي اللي بتسوي وزيادة بضعف شقبال زلمه ولا اقبل اي عادة الاختلاف بنا هالقد صغير انا اهانة لكل جنسك لي طفاني من اراء النعسانة انا الكتبت انا اللحنت انا الغنيت انا رح تجيب جيش بنات كمل عني اذا نسلت قبل ما تخلص البيت
عشتك السحرة قدام مسكوت وراها عصفة
اجمل الاعداد وهد وبيتي ولات بلد وضليت بلد اجمل الاعداد ولا صوتي كنت بدي منصه اطلع ما لحقت لفتره يقفت قد ما بنات قبلت ملان اغاني كتبت ثوره جديده خلقت صوتي بكتر احلامي في دي صار كتاب خطط كيف اخلي المنصه شايفك تحلم فيه كل يوم يمكن انا مش لايدي والشباب بهربوا بدل ما يوقعوا بحبي انا مسؤولة عحالي والبيت يعني كيف ما أنا بده يحبني
عيش أترك السهرة قدام أسكت ولا عاصفة انت فاضي السهرة كل حواجة كاسر انت فاضي
عيونك تخافيش ايه ايدك عن تم حلومي واطلعي اذا الكل وقف ضدك اذا انت ما تحركتش ما حد رح يسال عنك فاهمه انه صعب كنتوا لساتني هناك اوعي تلخبطي فرقي بين هذا الحد وهداك واذا تعبت تضايقيش ع غيرك في كتار هون عن حقهم مش متنازلات كانت انا بديش اكون انا هي لو وقفت اقبالهم بمبدا وانقتلت بعد ما دقت الحريه هدد حدد سدد هي نفس القضيه للي انقتلت قبل اسبوع واللي قبلها وقبلها بعتذر انه انقتلتي وما كملناش الصراع سوا بخذ لي وقت اعمل اللي حلمتوا فيه عشان ما بيحكوا عنكم متاسف على اللي ما عملته يا ريت في يرجعكم او اكون معاكم يا ريت في امحي الوجع والخوف يا ريت كون منكم
Okay, welcome back to Radio 613 here on CFRC 11.9 FM. That was Abir, Palestinian singer and MC with Which is Intifada. And we now have on the line from Montreal, Aaron Lakoff. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Aaron, we just spoke to Judy Rebek, who occupied the Israeli consulate in Toronto on January 7th, and the following day there was a similar action at the Israeli consulate in Montreal, and we want to hear from you about that, but maybe you could begin by speaking about some of the general sort of Palestinian solidarity work you've been engaging in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the response in Montreal, I'd say, to the current crisis in Gaza has been really overwhelming. I mean, basically, two organizations, one that I work with called Tadaman, which is a grassroots collective. Tadaman means solidarity in Arabic, and SPHR, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, basically had a meeting the day that the bombs started falling to plan a response, and then called a demonstration on 24 hours notice and got nearly 1,000 people out into the streets. That was December 28th. And so I think, you know, that there's this very, you know, very vivid anger right now that we're seeing manifest itself in the streets in terms of massive street demonstrations that take on a tone of grief, of rage, of resistance. You know, we just had a demonstration just this past Saturday in Montreal. Of course, there are demonstrations pretty much all across the country and throughout the world. Organizers estimated there was between 10 and 15,000 people who came out on the streets of Montreal with people chanting, Viva, Viva, Intifada, and chanting boycott Israel. And you know, I think that this rage in this time is really important because what I think it's doing right now is it's doing two things. It's showing very clearly that Palestine is not alone, Gaza is not alone, and that people around the world are standing up. But I think that there's just this anger that's reaching a boiling point that we kind of tend to see with a lot of events, certainly in Israel-Palestine, where that resistance will kind of wax and wane depending on what's happening with the situation. And so, of course, all throughout 2008, we were seeing the so-called peace talks between the Americans and the Israelis and Mahmoud Abbas. I don't even want to say, you know, the Palestinian people, because Mahmoud Abbas so clearly does not represent most Palestinian people. And those peace talks were going absolutely nowhere because, again, they weren't addressing, you know, the core issues of the problem, right? The right of all the Palestinian refugees to return, the status of Jerusalem. And so basically with Gaza, you just have this explosion, you know, not only in Gaza but around the world of again, this rage where people are rising up. Some people are talking about another intifada. You know, we saw in London, England, riots happening outside of the Israeli embassy and in Paris. And so for me, as an organizer in Montreal, I think that it's very crucial that as Palestine Solidarity organizers, we build on this anger and we organize it into an effective movement that's going to boycott Israeli apartheid.
And I think one of the tactics that was sort of chosen coming out of that was to present the Israeli embassy with an eviction notice on January 8th. Can you tell us about the thinking behind that action?
Sure. Well, basically what happened on just this past Thursday is a group of about 15 activists in Montreal blockaded the doors to the Israeli consulate in downtown Montreal and posted an eviction notice on the door. So they effectively shut down the operations of the consulate for the morning. And the eviction notice was kind of farcical, but at the same time very serious. I mean, we were demanding that the Israeli consulate be evicted from the building, and that beyond that, that the consular general of Israel to Montreal be deported or be expelled from the country. And so it was kind of theatrical, but at the same time, you know, we were very inspired this week by the news that the Venezuelan government of Hugo Chavez expelled the Israeli ambassador to that country. And part of this global campaign against Israeli apartheid is very much modeled on the global campaigns that were led in solidarity with black South Africans against apartheid in South Africa. So now that we're seeing a very similar, and some would even say a worse apartheid in Israel-Palestine, people are applying the same kind of tactics, and I'm not sure if this was discussed earlier on in the program, but the idea of BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And so the sanctions idea is one very concrete demand that people across the country are making to the government, you know, that Canada should apply sanctions on Israel, and ideally even go so far as to start expelling you know, the Israeli ambassador and representatives of the Israeli state who are working in Canada. Now, like, I'm not under any illusion that the Harper government is going to do that, but I still think it's a very important demand to put forward and to build on.
And when you got to the consulate in Montreal to serve the eviction notice, did you have any interaction with anyone who worked there?
I wasn't actually up inside. I was just doing support kind of from outside the building, so
okay,
to speak. But I do know that people went in and basically only really dealt with the security of the building with the RCMP and with the Montreal police who showed up. They weren't able to address anyone from the consulate directly.
I wanted to say that you mentioned, and I heard that, you know, you were able to shut down the operations of the consulate for the remainder of the day. And I think that that also is very meaningful in addition to the symbolism of the thing, because, you know, like, sort of basic idea of direct action is that, you know, you actually do something that will actually change a situation sort of tangibly. And, you know, not being in Israel, not being able to, you know, like, inhibit the military from acting, you know, from afar. You know, I think that the Israeli consulates in the North American cities are the closest sort of thing that, you know, one can address, and one can try to block their actions. So that's, I think that's another really meaningful aspect of your action. So,
and I think, I mean, just to maybe build on what you're saying there too, I mean, right now people in Montreal are looking into, you know, how to move this forward, and I really think that it's crucial that, you know, people who are concerned with what's happening in Gaza right now not see this as an exception to the rule. I mean, it's horrible. It's devastating and mind-boggling to think of the fact that Israel has killed, I mean, the death toll is mounting hourly, and like last time I checked it was over 917. You know, but this is not, you know, out of the ordinary for the Israeli state. I mean, this is very much part and parcel to, you know, what Israel has been since its inception in 1948. And I think that, you know, if we want to prevent massacres like this from happening in the future, we really have to be kind of like looking into the long term and saying, well, is a ceasefire enough? Should we be demanding a ceasefire? Should we be asking for a two-state solution? Or do we really need to get back to the core fundamentals of justice, which is basically that, you know, the way that we see it, you know, Israel is an apartheid state which denies rights to its non-Jewish citizens and is keeping more than 5 million refugees in exile. And so that conception of a state for Jewish people, you know, should be seen as just as racist as in South Africa, a state for white people.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you, because we're not as close to Quebec, I guess. We're not in Quebec, about if you know anything about anything going on in and around another important office of Lawrence Cannon. It's sort of, he's, for listeners who don't know, he's the current foreign minister for Stephen Harper, and people have been rallying around engaging and calling Lawrence Cannon out on his hypocrisy with regard to a number of indigenous issues, specifically with regards to the Algonquins of Barrier Lake and the ongoing colonial and apartheid policies of the Canadian state. And sort of things are seem to be coming together in the sense that after the initial bombings, which killed over, I think, 225 people of Gaza, Lawrence Cannon was globally, once again, same as the Lebanon War 2 years ago, the most apologetic of foreign leaders, more so than Condoleezza Rice, I think, again, as far as not calling on even the token restraint that other countries called on. So I was just wondering, I hate to put you on the spot, but if you know anything in Quebec about sort of convergence of these issues, since Lawrence Cannon's office is, can't remember the riding, but it's just north of Montreal, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Lawrence Cannon, he's the Canadian foreign minister, and he's an MP for the riding in Gatineau,
right,
Quebec, which is near Ottawa. I mean, I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's more crucial than ever that people hold our foreign ministry and hold the prime minister accountable. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting, some of the stuff that, you know, the Harper government has been saying during all of this. After the UN school was shelled by a tank, I can't remember exactly what day it was, I think it was last Wednesday, and 43 people died, most of them children, you know, Canada basically, or Stephen Harper basically reiterated the talking points of the Israeli military, is that they needed to do that in self-defense. thereby justifying, you know, the murder of dozens of children. So, you know, but I, like you brought up the indigenous issue, and I think that's crucial that people kind of keep that in mind too. It's that, you know, we can demand things from the conservative government, but at the same time, we should not be under the illusion that tomorrow they're going to wake up and realize, you know, how at fault they've been for supporting these Israeli war crimes. I think the fact that, you know, Canada, the conservatives, and before them the liberals, you know, have just given, you know, very vocal support to the Israeli state is not a surprise, because, you know, we have to look at our ground here and the fact that we're living in a settler colonial state, as Israel is a settler colonial state. And so I think that, you know, in terms of building an effective solidarity movement too, I mean, I don't want to get into rhetoric, because I think it's important to talk about these very concrete things, mm-hmm. is that, you know, we have quote-unquote Palestinians in Canada, and they're communities who, like you said, are facing that apartheid reality, are forced to go the lengths of blocking highways and train tracks, demand basic things like safe drinking water for their communities. And so that, you know, if we're looking at the other side of the world, it's very important to look at what's happening in Gaza and what's happening in Israel and Palestine and all these other places. But, you know, real justice won't actually come around in that sense too, unless we kind of see those links and see those similarities and start to fight, you know, colonialism in Kingston and in Montreal and in these places where we live.
No doubt. I just wanted to ask you, Aaron, we're sort of running out of time a little bit, but I know that you were one of the signers and drafters of a note by Jewish youth condemning the recent attack, as well as the ongoing occupation. Can you tell us a little bit about that letter?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, that letter, it's an open letter from anti-Zionist Jewish youth in Canada. It's been signed by just over 70 people now, and we're still getting more signatures daily. And it was basically, it was myself and a colleague, friend of mine, who works at the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid in Toronto, felt that, especially in this time, it's really important for Jews to speak out in solidarity with the Palestinians for two reasons. One is because, you know, I strongly feel that, you know, if we really want to talk about anti-Semitism in the world, and if we want to de-link anti-Semitism from, you know, valid critiques of the state of Israel, I think that we have to realize that when Israel carries out murder on this level, that's only going to lead to creating more anti-Semitism in the world, you know. And you can see that anger. It's really unfortunate, but, you know, like in demonstrations, people are conflating, you know, Zionism with Nazism, and that's a whole other debate right now. But it's like you sense that, you know, there is this rising anger in the world towards Jewish people, and I think that, you know, the most effective way to stamp that out is, well, first of all, for Israel to stop what it's doing. But also, you know, for Jews to stand up and say, well, we as a community are diverse. Not every Jew is supporting Israel, and there are many of us that have that humane side where we're against the killing of other humans. And then also, like, just quickly on the second note of why we felt it was important is that Israel does every single thing it does, like this most recent massacre in Gaza, in the name of defending Jewish people, not only in Israel, but around the world, and creating that safe space. And it's absolutely essential that we stand up and we say, you know, our own freedom as Jewish people is tied to the freedom of Palestinians and every other single person on this world, and you can't separate the two. And we have to eventually, you know, stand up and speak out and denounce this killing.
Great. Well, these are all, like, really important issues, and we really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about them. And, you know, I think having that letter just out there, and as you said, you know, reflecting the varying voices with regard to Israel and ensuring that, you know, I know it's something that affects different people in different ways, but certainly for some people as Jews on a moral level, on a political level, on a level of, as you said, being concerned about anti-Semitism on a religious, spiritual level. So I think just sort of having that sort of that range of voices of opposition, but out there is really important. So Aaron, thanks so much for joining us, and do keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care.